This is Escalation of Commitment, a leveraged fanfic written by Lynn Monster and read by
Silver and Blue,
Schmaler,
Winged Words,
KLB,
and Rena Jenkins, for Podfic Summer Sizzle 2019. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Alec Hardison, Parker, Elliot Spencer, with additional tags for humor, mild sexual content. Messing with the leverage team is not a smart life choice. Summary. After several bumbling attempts by the government to recruit him back into service, Elliot's left feeling insulted. One of Hardison's action figures is forced to make the ultimate sacrifice, and Parker intends to show whoever is in charge exactly why it's a bad idea to touch her rappelling gear. In other words, just another day at the office. The attack came while he was closing up for the night. One moment, Elliot was tidying up the brew pub, and the next, he was surrounded by black-clad men on silent feet, all pointing guns at him. There was only one thing to do at that point, and so, with a roll of his eyes and a casual,
"Hey boys, what's up?"
the fight was on. It didn't last long. And really, Elliot should have known it would be this way. Because when did he ever get peace and quiet around the holidays? No, what he got was bar fights and broken bottles and a bruise on his jaw for trying to talk first and throw punches later. Grabbing an ice-cold beer from behind the bar and pressing it to his face, he made his way to the back room where he left Hardison standing guard. None of the half-dozen men sitting tied up in the corner acknowledged his presence as he entered. Probably because they were all unconscious, courtesy of their brief but violent meeting with his fist. And in one case, a half-empty bottle of wine that he was still kicking himself for using. Damn waste of a good vintage. A quick search revealed a distinct lack of identification, but the stocky builds and close-cropped hair, combined with their familiar fighting styles, practically screamed army. Just like the last ones. Over by the far wall, Hardison was in a world of his own, the fingers of one hand flying over a small tablet computer held in the other. He looked up as Elliot finished rifling through the last of the men's clothes, expression darkening like the angry clouds of a gathering storm.
"Oh, it's so on,"
he announced, making his way over to Elliot.
"Those punks broke my vintage Uhura action figure when they busted in."
He looked mournfully in the direction of his office.
"Who does that, man? Just ain't right."
Elliot wasn't sure which of Hardison's little toys had been violated, but knew better than to ask. Besides, he had his own issues with this attack.
"This is the fourth team in 2 weeks,"
he noted.
"And they're not even good teams. If Uncle Sam here wants me back in his pocket so bad, least he can do is to send some half-competent people for our little chat. Instead, I get the clown parade over there."
He narrowed his eyes at the men on the floor.
"Frankly, I'm insulted."
"There, there, man."
Hardison placed a hand on his bicep.
"I'm sure they'll start sending the badass ones before they give up. These dudes are probably like a warm-up or something."
The words sadly fell on deaf ears as Elliot frowned at his beer with a muttered,
"Not even special forces."
"You sure your army friend's not the one behind this? Vance? I remember he didn't seem too happy about you brushing him off back in D.C.
Elliot shook his head, then had to shake it again as a piece of hair flew into his eye. Might be time to go short again.
"Nah, this ain't Vance's style. If he really wanted to make me his date to the prom, he'd do it right. Or do it himself. This is probably some paper-pushing twerp. I've seen plenty of their type around, more ambition than brains. It'll taper off eventually."
Elliot sighed and took a swig of his beer before returning it to his aching jaw.
"Still no excuse for shoddy soldiers, though. I swear, man."
The sound of the door slamming open interrupted Elliot's tirade before he could really get going. Parker stomped into the room, cold rage scrawled across her face. Her tightly pulled back ponytail proclaimed her ready for war.
"They touched my favorite rig,"
she said with a glower.
"No one touches my favorite rig."
"Or tries to kidnap Elliot,"
Hardison reminded her. She wrinkled her nose.
Does it count if they're not very good at trying to kidnap Elliot?
It was a valid question, and they both looked at him with curious gazes. Elliot shrugged.
Sure, we'll count it.
So that settled it. Parker walked up to where he and Hardison stood, and shouldered her way between them to sling an arm around both their shoulders.
They want war? We'll give them war.
Hardison rubbed his hands together with glee.
Oh, I have so many new ideas to try out. Did you know that the indoor plumbing controls of many modern buildings are networked?
Visions of the entire U.S. government being brought to its knees flitted through Elliot's head. He needed to stop this before it got out of hand.
Nothing too bad, though,
he said.
So far they've just been annoying and incompetent.
So we'll do the same,
Hardison chimed in. Then he paused.
Without the, you know, being incompetent part, that is.
So, just annoying, huh? Shouldn't be a problem for you.
Elliot replied, shooting Hardison a grin to take the sting out of the words. Hardison thumped his chest with his free hand.
That hurts. Right in the heart it hurts me.
But he was smiling, too, as he said it.
Right,
Parker agreed, bringing them back on track.
Let's do this.
So yeah, that's how they ended up in a prank war with the Pentagon. Elliot's phone rang. It was more than a little annoying because, well, Elliot was kind of busy at the moment. Whoever was calling was just gonna have to wait. Except the damn thing kept going. Four rings. Five. Six. And damn it, this was getting real old real fast. Stupid phone probably had a brain of its own. There was no other explanation for how it consistently chose the worst moments to interrupt him. He might have even accused Hardison of writing some kind of program to mess with him, but for once, the hacker had an airtight alibi. Namely, Elliot's hands down his pants. Well, one of Elliot's hands. The other was fiddling with opening the front door, and hell if he was moving either one of them to answer a telephone with delusions of grandeur. Not when Hardison was practically clinging to him, face pressed into the crook of Elliot's shoulder in a half-hearted attempt to keep it down for the neighbors. The ringing stopped just as the lock clicked open, and he released an irritated breath he hadn't even realized he was holding. They barely made it two steps into the top-floor apartment, when the shrill noise started up again. With a growl, Elliot yanked the thing from his pocket, fully prepared to rip out the battery and damn the consequences. And froze at the name on the display. Hardison gave an impatient whine when Elliot pulled away to take the call with a growled,
What?
Spencer, this has to stop.
I'm, kinda busy at the moment.
We'll get unbusy,
Vance barked. It must have been loud enough to carry over, because of a snicker, Hardison leaned into Elliot's face with a muttered,
How about undressed?
Thankfully, that particular pearl of wisdom was directed at the ear that didn't have a phone pressed to it.
Best idea I've heard all day,
Elliot mumbled under his breath. Hardison must have agreed, because he took a step back from Elliot and started working at the buttons of his own shirt, letting it slide to the floor when he was done. Elliot wasn't shy about staring.
What? Spencer? What the hell is going on over there?
Nothing. Listen, this is kind of a bad time, so I'm going to keep it short.
Elliot stepped out of his jeans as he spoke, half-hopping from one foot to the other to kick them aside as he let Hardison steer them toward the nearest horizontal surface. Namely, the living room couch. Because, hey, Elliot might not be a tech genius, but he can multitask with the best of them.
You stop sending military boys after me, and we'll stop embarrassing everyone associated with this little project of yours.
It's not my project, and you know it. I told you my hands are tied. You're damn lucky I like you enough to risk my ass and my job passing intel to you and your people. You're welcome, by the way.
Which, sure, he had a point. It was nice to get a heads up about when he could expect the next round of government goon squads, as he taken to calling them. But still.
Lucky? Try you owe me for DC.
Elliot sucked in a breath as Hardison buried his hands under his t-shirt to scrape fingers down his chest.
How many times?
He captured the wandering hand by the wrist before it could dip under the waistband of his boxers.
Do I have to tell you people? I ain't working for anyone anymore. Including you.
Lips on his neck stole his concentration, and he missed whatever Vance had to say in return. So he didn't feel too bad about checking out of the conversation long enough to lift his arms over his head to let Hardison peel his shirt off. Taking the last couple steps towards the couch, he flopped down across it, pulling Hardison along with him for a much-needed kiss. When the three of them first became a thing, it was a bit of a rocky start all around, each of them figuring out where they fit into the whole. Back then, Hardison kissed like it was a competition. Like he had to outman Elliot, or prove himself, or whatever. But like anything, practice made perfect. And damn, did they have one hell of a good time practicing. And now he kissed Elliot like he was one of his precious computer systems. Like he couldn't wait to worm his way in and lay him bare. Elliot, for his part, was A-okay with that. And had some plans of his own for how this particular afternoon was going to end up. Vaguely, he was aware of fingers lightly stroking down the side of his neck. Those same fingers that created their fake aliases and covered their tracks and cracked the most sophisticated systems in the world. They trailed lower as Elliot opened his mouth into the kiss, slipping down towards
Spencer. Spencer!
The annoying noise resolved itself into words, and Elliot groaned into the kiss, slumping back against the couch. Hardison seemed to understand and pulled away, but not before catching Elliot's lower lip between his teeth for a gentle bite. It was enough to almost make Elliot say screw it and ignore the damn phone entirely. Instead, he let Hardison go and reluctantly raised the phone back to his ear.
This better be good.
You know, Spencer, I didn't think anything could be more excruciatingly painful than the 6 weeks we spent together in prison in North Korea. But listening to you get some action just proved me wrong. Thanks.
Elliot closed his eyes and bit back a few choice words.
You think you're funny, but you're not. Get to the point already.
You need to keep that team of yours on a leash,
Vance snapped. And wasn't that a mental sight he didn't want to think too closely on?
Do you have any idea how many people you three lovebirds are pissing off with these stunts of yours?
As a matter of fact, he did. Ever since Parker's declaration of war, they'd been busy. It hadn't taken Hardison long to find the person campaigning for Elliot's recruitment. As Elliot suspected, he was some low-level bureaucrat trying to build himself a little empire. To say they'd made life somewhat uncomfortable for all parties involved was a bit of an understatement. Across the whole of DC, various officials were discovering files going missing for days, only to turn up in a completely different part of the network. Overhead lights flickering to the tune of obscene phrases painstakingly spelled out in Morse code. And, on one memorable occasion, there was the catastrophe hinted at in the highest level of internal memos, only as the singing strip telegram incident. Elliot was particularly proud of that last one, if he did say so himself. He bit back a laugh.
I don't know what sort of stunt you're talking about. Oh!
He almost jumped straight off the couch, as Hardison's mouth latched onto his inner thigh with the kind of enthusiasm that ought to be illegal. Slamming a hand over the receiver, he glared down at where 6+ feet of impatient, half-dressed hacker happily knelt between his legs. A mouthed, sorry, and a sheepish shrug were all he got in return. In other words, not looking a damn sight sorry at all. And yeah, Elliot got it. It was kind of bad form to take a phone call in what was supposed to be a private moment, but come on. Elliot had government lackeys alternating between trying to recruit him and trying to kidnap him, so when one of the few guys on his side called, Elliot answered. But as Hardison lowered his head to mouth at Elliot through the fabric of his underwear, He decided a change in strategy might be in order. No plan survived first contact with the opposition and all. Decision made, he brought the phone back to his ear.
Good chat, Vance. We'll talk later.
Spencer, don't you dare.
Whatever Vance said next was lost as Elliot ended the call and tossed the phone to the ground to join the rest of their clothes. A low chuckle sounded as Hardison sat back on his knees, looking down at him with approval. He ran a hand up Elliot's leg.
Guess Vance's lackeys got my little present.
They're not Vance's lackeys.
Technicalities.
Elliot shifted to press a knee between Hardison's legs, following up with a swipe of his thumb along the sharp jut of his hip just above his jeans.
What'd you do?
It took a moment of heavy breathing for Hardison to pull himself together enough to speak. But when he did, it was with his usual smugness of a job well done.
Sent 1,000 dildos to the Pentagon, care of one General Morris.
Elliot hated to burst his bubble, but...
You do realize they screened the mail there, right? No way your little delivery made it through.
Elliot, man, when you gonna learn? When I send mail, you hear? It got through.
With that, he kissed a line up Elliot's stomach, clambering upright to straddle his waist. Elliot let himself be pressed under the cushions, hands gripping Hardison's hips to keep him in place. A kiss on his neck. Another on his jawline, right over the place where a bruise had just finished healing. Breath hitching, he angled his head to the side, hips grinding up for more. All of a sudden, Hardison stopped, making Elliot bite hard into his own lip to keep from making a noise he'd be embarrassed about later.
What?
He asked, still breathing hard. Damn it, if this was some kind of revenge for taking that phone call, he was gonna...
That was last week, man.
It took Elliot a second to switch gears. The prank. Hardison's prank was last week.
So?
So, didn't Vance already call you to bitch about that one? Which means...
The pieces clicked into place all at once.
Parker.
They both finished. The slap of feet hitting the ground caught both their attentions at the same time. Elliot didn't startle, and that alone told him exactly who was in their living room. Only one person could sneak up on him and not cause him to automatically lash out and attack. Hardison, on the other hand, almost tumbled off the couch from his place astride Elliot. Probably would have, if Elliot's hands hadn't still been bracketing his hips.
Damn, woman, a little warning next time.
Parker approached the couch, eyes raking over them in the same way she counted her money and her jewels.
You called my name. Was I not supposed to come down?
Parker liked to watch them, almost as much as she liked to join in. So her literally falling from the ceiling was practically tradition by now, Elliot figured.
Of course you were, darling. Plenty of room for one more.
What he said. Now stop wasting daylight and get over here, girl.
Shifting to make room on the couch, Hardison held out a hand. With a smile, Parker launched herself into their arms. It didn't escape Elliot's notice that she was dressed for work in head-to-toe black. Which was more than enough confirmation that whatever Vance had been yelling about, he and Hardison were correct in their thinking of who was responsible. But that was a thought for later. Right now, his two favorite people were in the room. One of them was half-dressed, and the other was about to be, if he had any say in the matter. Vance could wait. Sometime after they'd all showered and collapsed into bed in a sleepy and sated heap, Elliot padded over to the kitchen to start on dinner. Cooking always helped clear his mind, and today was no exception. It was as he was chopping Kalamata olives that Parker came in. Her hair mussed, and a sleepy grin stretched across her face. Wordlessly, she perched on one of the bar stools opposite the large island that served as his workspace. For the next couple of minutes, the only sound was the steady thud of his knife against the cutting board, and the sizzle of chicken browning in the pan. Once the olives were chopped, he slapped them into a bowl and started working on the basil, pulling the leaves off the stems and stacking them up one by one until he had enough. He didn't look up or pause in his movements as he said,
"I finished my conversation with Vance earlier. He said there was an attack here in Portland, one of the generals he tends to cross paths with."
From the corner of his eye, he saw Parker shrug.
"So?"
"That was what you were up to before, right?"
There was no answer, and he took advantage of the silence to roll the stack of basil leaves and set it on the cutting board seam side down. He started slicing, a nice, even chiffonade. When he was done, he set the knife aside and looked up.
"Parker, you can't just do that."
Parker crossed her arms.
"Why not? You hit people all the time."
"Not 3-star generals."
"That's not true. Hardison told me all about that job in Japan when you—"
"That doesn't count,"
Elliot replied.
"He was a bad man."
"So was this one."
Parker leaned forward in her seat, bracing both hands on the countertop.
"He knows that they're sending people after you. And so far they haven't been a problem. But what if one of them gets lucky? This needs to stop."
Parker stopped for breath, chest heaving. She was worried, Elliot realized, guilt worming its way inside his chest. He reached an arm across the table to rest his hand on top of hers.
"All right,"
he said softly.
"We'll put an end to this."
Parker gave his fingers a squeeze. Like the first rays of sunshine, a smile peeked out from the corner of her lips.
"Anyway,"
she continued,
"the general guy wasn't hurt, just knocked unconscious for a couple hours. Long enough for the die to set. And for the record, I didn't attack him. I just supervised."
Elliot looked at the ceiling for strength.
"You ordered the hit. That makes you the one responsible."
Hardison chose that moment to appear in the kitchen. He sidled up to Parker, casting an incredulous glance at them both.
"The die? The hit? What the hell, Parker?"
"It wasn't a hit. Elliot's just being dramatic."
Elliot let out a growl of frustration.
"The hit, the job, whatever. Same difference."
"What'd you do, Parker?"
Parker grabbed one of Hardison's many tablet computers from across the counter and fiddled with it until she apparently found what she was looking for and passed it over. Elliot didn't need to see the display to know what Hardison was looking at. He'd already gotten the details from Vance.
"Pink-haired general makes waves at energy conference. Claims abduction,"
Hardison read aloud. He let out a low whistle.
"Damn, girl. Do I even want to know how you pulled this off?"
Parker smiled.
"A lot of chloroform and a little bit of hair dye goes a long way."
She paused, letting out a soft snort that shouldn't have been as endearing as it was.
"I learned that from Sophie."
Elliot coughed.
"Pretty sure she didn't mean it quite like that, sweetheart."
Then he reconsidered. "Probably best not to put money on that." Putting the thought aside, he turned his attention to more immediate matters. Like not overcooking the chicken. Removing it from the pan, he set it aside and threw in the olives, basil, garlic, and the last of the homemade marinara sauce still in the fridge from their last victory dinner. They lapsed into silence as Elliot stirred it all together, turning his attention back to the food as the other two watched. As it turned out, publicly humiliating a general was a pretty effective means of getting the government to leave them alone. According to Vance's latest report, the bureaucrat pulling the strings had been quickly and quietly reassigned. Guess they figured Elliot Spencer was more trouble than he was worth, he thought, with more than a little satisfaction.
"That was my plan all along,"
Parker claimed. She tried to sneak a spoon past Elliot into the sauce simmering on the stove, but Elliot batted her hand away before she could make contact. Defeated, she slunk back to the barstool area. He'd give it another 3 to 4 minutes before she tried again. Elliot scoffed.
"Sure it was. Did you even know Morris had oversight on that particular project? Or did you just guess?"
"I did,"
Hardison piped up, heading to the fridge to pour himself a glass of orange soda. He wiggled his fingers as he retook his seat.
Age of the...
Parker shut him up by lunging out of her seat and covering his mouth with her own. And wasn't that a handy trick? Elliot made a note to remember that. After some initial squeaking and almost falling off his stool, Partisan got his head in the game and pulled her onto his lap, deepening the kiss and sliding his hands under her shirt. The orange soda sat lonely and untouched on the counter. For a moment, Elliot simply watched them, letting the sights and smells of home wrap around him. Just a few short years back, he'd have said that what he had going on here was impossible. He wasn't the settling type, and home was a concept so foreign he'd almost forgotten what it felt like. The truth of it was, he hadn't even realized he'd been searching when everything he ever wanted practically up and landed straight in his lap. But against all odds, here it was. Looking around, he couldn't think of a thing he'd change. A bigger pantry, maybe, or one of those dual-temperature wine refrigerators, but everything worth having was right here in front of him. Add to that, the government was off his back, Vance was in the clear, and the Putinesca sauce was shaping up to be some of his best. And he had people to share it all with. Turning the heat down and covering the sauce, he went to join them.
The end.